morning, good morning. The title of today's message is Inevitable Fruit. Inevitable Fruit. I don't like having words that have too many syllables because I mess them up. But that word I couldn't escape because the fruit that God wants to produce in our lives, if we are plugged into true faith, fruit is inevitable in our lives. This message today is a continuance of a series entitled Message to My Church, and we're walking slowly through the letters that Jesus wrote to his church. And when I say Jesus wrote, he appeared to the Apostle John and gave us clarity of what his heart is for our existence as a church. So we pick back up at verse 1 of chapter 2 in Revelation. And we read again, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Again, Jesus is not at a distance. Jesus is here right now in our gathering. And he reminds us it is not the elders that are the authority. The authority is Jesus. And elders are supposed to honor what his heart is. So today we go to verse 2. And we see the description is, Jesus says this, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. He's talking about his eyes, his sight upon us, looks to see what faith is producing in us. And it's not this critical eye, it's an eye of encouragement, because when we are connected to Christ, fruit is going to happen. The works are going to happen. I know again your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are, say that word with me, not, and found them to be false. Jesus walking amongst his church, walking in the presence of his church, he knows if we are connected to him or not. When he looks at our lives, he sees the work of our lives. He sees the fruit that is being produced out of the evidence of faith that leads us to be in connection with him. There are a lot of things seeking to connect to our lives, but we must always choose Jesus above every other thing. And then also he mentions, I know your toils. And that is what we focused in on last week. He knows the struggle. He knows the trials and the tribulations we're walking through. Nothing of pain that has touched us goes void from the eyes of Christ. He sees and he understands and he stands with us through these difficult times. And also, I love how this is pointed out. If we can move to the slide, I know your patient endurance. I know your patient endurance. And here's a question for all of us today. And again, thank you guys for connecting and being part of the body of Christ. He says this, I examine your endurance. In Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, what I'm saying to you is this. I see you're patiently enduring. How is your endurance in this time? What is your faith? What is the condition of your faith in such crazy times in which we find ourselves? How are you enduring? Because endurance is not always patient, is it? Your source will determine your endurance. Sometimes people bitterly endure. Their journey of faith gets to a place where they don't like it, and they just get to be bitter endurers. Faith is something that's still there, but it's not active because it is not sourced in Christ. It's just sourced in a framework of their acceptance, meaning they believe faith is genuine and Jesus is real, but they're not sourced by him any longer. Their endurance is filled with complaint, with bitterness, and their joy is nowhere to be found. But see, what we see Jesus honoring Ephesus about, the church in Ephesus, I know your patient endurance. Our Christ-like endurance honors Jesus. Nobody appreciates a whiny Christian, right? And let me just throw this out. Nobody appreciates a moody Christian either. Now, let's be honest. Some of us are just conditioned to be what? Say it. Moody. Moody. You're whiny. I like that word. A whiny Christian. And we all have different temperaments. And you know what I say to God about that? Thank you, Jesus. Because it would be like walking around a bunch of robots. We're all unique. And what's beautiful is when I notice I'm being moody and I say, Jesus, help me work out. Help me work out my attitude. I was getting ready to say, help me work out my attitude. You work out my attitude. Your strength. Christ-like endurance. How are you enduring? Are you running on empty? Is there disconnected endurance? Because we can stay in faith and be disconnected. Meaning that we can continue to believe that Jesus is the way to go, but we choose not to be sourced by him. We're sourced by our own strength. Running on empty, our endurance is either growing our faith or it is causing our faith to perish. And one last time, for right now, how are you enduring? You know, I'm not even going to call it a season. This shift that we're in right now. Who would have ever thought 2020, I still have the message. Sometime if you get a chance, go back and listen to the very first sermon of 2020 at Capital City Church. It's on our website. And one of the things that was stated in there, we do not know what a decade will bring. And I reflected back to, you know, the 10 years from 2010 to 2020. We didn't know what was going to happen. But who would have ever thought 2020 would turn out like this? None of us had planned for it. None of us had thought it was possible. But it showed up. And now it is right before us and is seeking to change the way that we endure. And here's the thing. When shifting occurs, habits change. And right now, when we look at the habits that are forming in us in this time, are they positive or are they negative? Are they sourcing us more into Jesus? Or are they sourcing us more into ourselves and other sources? See, we must endure in a way that is pleasing to God. And he's saying, Ephesus, your endurance shows my likeness, for your endurance is filled with the fruit of the Spirit of patience, and you are patiently enduring. Is our endurance Christ-like? Is it Christ-like? I know your patient endurance. What is that word patience truly seeking to communicate to our understanding? You can look at that word in another, in the understanding of another word, and that's steadfastness. Steadfastness. Other words that come to mind is really faith. Genuine faith. Faith that doesn't unplug. Faith that doesn't dissipate. And then it also has this meaning behind it. You stay purposed. Because nothing like this kind of shift will change what we feel purposed about. And then also attachment. Steadfastness. Patient. Attached. Staying connected. Resolute, meaning that this shift is not going to change who I am in my service to God and fruit bearing that God desires. Unwavering, the world around me is not going to change my trust in God. It's not going to change how I walk in my faith. Patient, that's what it means. Again, unwavering. Firmly established. And here's the thing. At the end of 2020, will our faith be different than it was on New Year's Day of 2020? And then I want to look at this. Will we still be connected to Jesus and connected to one another? We need each other. Man, thank y'all for being here today. Thank y'all. Thank you for our folks in Zoom coming and not giving up. My heart breaks for folks in our body that are disconnected and are not coming together in one of the avenues. What is happening? What is happening? It's called disconnected. And a sign of me disconnecting from Jesus is me disconnecting from the body of Christ. And that's only fair. That's not trying to be critical. You know, as a pastor, I want everybody to be okay. Imagine a pastor being out on the field with the sheep, a shepherd, and all of a sudden the sheep are just everywhere. Nobody knows where they're at. What kind of shepherd is that? Fixed in a direction, patiently fixed in a direction. This is just a warm-up. It is just a warm-up. The heat is turning up. Now, if I'm scorched at this level, what's going to happen when the turns way up? I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me, this is great. This ain't nothing right now. I said, well, hush. I don't want to hear that. This ain't nothing. Flu season's coming. I'm like, hush. You know? What is it going to do to us? See, Jesus knows our fruit. He knows it. We can't fake it. My mom, she loved to decorate, and before she moved into this country kind of style that was popular in the late 70s, mid-70s, she had, you know, the traditional 1960 kind of decorations, and one of those decorations, and you show your age if you remember this, was plastic fruit. Remember that? I used to love it. It was like, the oranges made a great ball. And for some reason, as a kid, it intrigued me. But it was what? It wasn't like, it was just plastic fruit. And it didn't fool anybody. Now, nowadays, they're a little bit more creative, but it didn't fool anybody. Same way with us. Our fruit will not fool God. If it ain't real, Jesus knows. And in fact, if the Holy Spirit is living in us, we should be able to perceive and encourage each other if our fruit bearing is not genuine. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've been fooled over the years. I've had some people that come with some artificial fruit, and they polish it up really good. And I've been fooled, so I'm not saying we can't be fooled. But the quality of our fruit is never, it never fools God. And see, another thing, the farmer knows his crops. Imagine a farmer that wasn't focused in on the quality of his crops. My father used to be a buyer for produce for Colonial Foods, and I think it eventually turned into Big Star Foods. Somebody, please tell me you remember Big Star. I'm feeling really old right now. And my father was, he was always an extremely ethical man. And I still remember the story my mom would tell me. My dad wouldn't tell me the story, but my mom would. My mom had a dream. She wanted a blue Volkswagen Bug. That was her goal in life. I want Bob, that was my daddy's name. I want a blue Volkswagen Bug. And so I guess my dad had told some of the buyers, you know, the sellers at these markets, you know, about his wife wanting one of those VW Bugs. And you know what my dad said? Mm-mm. They're too small and they're too dangerous, is what he said. So my mama never got her blue VW Bug because my dad thought they were too dangerous. So my father was at the place, the market, where these grocery stores would buy all this produce. And there was produce, a harvest from one of the farmers there, that was substandard. It was not at the quality that my father would accept. And I guess the seller knew the quality of this fruit or vegetables was not at the quality that my father would accept. So he had a plan. He, I don't know if he owned it prior or whatever, he had parked a blue VW Bug in the parking lot. And he went up to my father. He says, Bob, you buy my produce, and this is my little gift to you. So I guess he thought, well, Bob loves his wife, and if he can bring that home, it'll just make their family happier. And my dad said, get behind me, Satan. He said, no, not going to do that. My father would have rather died than be a crook. And so that fruit and the quality of that fruit truly matters in our lives. And what are we saying to God if we're willing to have substandard fruit or artificial fruit connected to us? What are we saying to God? The branch is dependent on the vine. And we also know this, all that is needed for genuine godly fruit to be produced is provided by who? God. We don't have to be filled with ability. We are filled with God, who is the ultimate of ability. And that fruit, he has given everything that is needed so that we have inevitable fruit in our lives. I want to show you something here today. I got out of my yard. I know Austin was wondering, what is Daddy doing today? I was thinking about a fruit tree, and it kept running through my mind, I need to find a fruit tree. And I kept thinking oranges and lemons and things like that. But then I was reminded that I have fruit tree in my yard, a couple of them. And this is called a loquat tree. Anybody ever heard of loquat trees? Yes. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know they had fruit when they were planted. And then they started to bloom. These really pretty little, looked like in between a peach and an apple, but small. About double size of a grape. And I began to test them and eat them, and they are phenomenal. In fact, they're so good that my son Austin and also Benjamin got busy picking the trees and getting all the fruit off of the trees and made preserves. And I think he's even given some of his preserves out. But this was a branch connected to the loquat tree. And the problem is, this thing has yielded fruit. In fact, you might even be able to see the dried up fruit. I don't want to depress you. But if you look right there, that little clump, that is one of the loquats that has just totally dried. We'll show that to our folks at Zoom. And if you look, and then at the end there, you see the little places where the fruit had been, sort of like a grape branch a little bit. But now that this is no longer connected to the tree, what's going to happen? No fruit. And I felt kind of bad about it because this thing's produced some things over the years for me, all because of an illustration. But it's no longer in its source. The branch is removed from the tree. And similar to how a branch is removed from the vine, the grapevine, it will not produce fruit. Again, this branch will not endure. It is distant from the source. And then we're going to focus a little bit today on John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Inevitable fruit. How do we maintain fruit-bearing faith? I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. And my Father is the vine dresser. Now listen real close. To be people that have fruit that is genuine, we must remain in the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And I'm going to ask if you can just bring up this picture, the next picture here. And I don't know anything about vineyards, but I saw a little bit of this. But this part right here is the vine. And it looks similar to what? Like a tree, a tree trunk. But this is something that's very old. And then the vines that come off are connected to the branches that come off are connected to this source. And this is representative of Jesus. The one that as long as the branch is connected into the vine, we're going to have beautiful what? Fruit that will be produced. And we know without a shadow of a doubt, if the branch is removed, there's no more fruit bearing that's going to occur. But it says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. See, there are other vines that we can connect to. There are multiple vines that we can connect to in our lives. And I want you just to kind of think about your week or this month or even through this shift that has happened. And when did it actually occur? I think our last service that we had before we took the COVID break was the 15th of March. And that's been a long time. It's been a very long time. But I want you to go back to that date and think forward the months that have passed. And what vine do you find yourself connected to the most? What source? And that source will tell you a lot about the fruit that is coming forth out of your life. And when I say source, what is it that is drawing you to give your ears, your eyes, your mind, and your heart to? Now, for me, to be just blunt and honest with you, I like information. I do. And so some of that information is good, some of it is bad when it comes from the news, right? And I'm going to be honest with you. I've talked about this a whole lot. The news will mess you up. The news will mess you up. You say, what? Why do you like it so much? Information. I want to understand the day that I live in. But if I source there, and that's where I'm drawing my information, it'll wear me out. I'll repeat this real quick. Multiple sources is the best choice. One source can put you in a place that you don't want to be. So research, but don't get sucked in. Because that is, to be very honest with you, that's one of my major struggles. Because I want to know what? I want to know the truth. But the problem is not too many people talking about the truth today, right? True. He says, I am the true vine. What does that mean? I'm not counterfeit. I'm not saying, come and be connected to me and you're going to bear the right fruit. True means I'm not fictitious. I'm not false. If you're going to connect to Jesus, then you can rest assured it's not he is not fictitious. He is not false. He is not counterfeit. And also this, he's not imaginary. Some people will not walk faith because they believe it's like some kind of fairy tale. Something of simplicity that just is a waste of time for them. In fact, they feel this, I rise above those things. That is for people that need a crutch. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus is not imaginary. He is as real as it gets. And if you connect to him, you will see the real fruit of God be produced in your life. If we. And then also true, it's not simulated. It's not something that's just going through the motions and putting a front that's shallow inside. It is not a simulation. It is a reality. And then also, it's not pretended. It is that which when we are connected to the source, beautiful, beautiful fruit is the result. What is the branch of our life connected to? Let's look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, speaking of the vine dresser, God, takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes so that it will bear more fruit, even richer fruit. Now let's listen to that again. Every branch, what's that next word? What's that next word? Somebody say it for me loud. In every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So here's the thing. Some people teach, and I'm going to try to do this and hold the mic. The word, Jesus is the word, right? So If I'm in Christ, I'm connected to him, right? Some people teach that if you come to Christ and you sincerely repent of your sins and follow him and become a disciple of him, once you're connected, that you're always connected. And nothing can ever change that. Well, this scripture, go back to that scripture. This scripture just lays it out extremely plain. That for some that are in him, plugged into the vine, for some, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, speaking of God, takes away, and let me just stop there. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So God is very focused, and Jesus is very focused about what our faith is producing. And it's like this. It's not an unloving thing. Because any vine dresser knows, any farmer knows, if you have an unproducing branch, if it remains in that vine, it is a negative there. It is a hindrance there. And it doesn't just hurt itself, it hurts others that are connected. So for the good of the branches, that branch is what? Disconnected and removed. And this should be a sign to us. Are we producing fruit? Because none of us want to be that branch that is removed, do we? Do we? We don't want to be that branch. But it is a reality of a loving God that says, if you do not produce the fruit that I have given my son to live in you, don't expect that you are remaining in me. Now, if we turn into a branch like this at some point, which all of us have tendencies and times in our life where we've just chose not to remain in him, right? That branch can be brought back in to Jesus. And that's grace, and that's mercy. And that's freedom that God gives us. But we must never forget as believers and as the church of Jesus Christ that just because we've been in Christ in the past doesn't mean that we're in him now. And that branch that is taken away, what's going to happen over time when that branch sits distant from the vine or from the trunk? We'll see. It'll dry up. It'll become nothing but fuel for the fire. The vine, the branches, what is our branch connected to? Let's read further in this verse. Every branch in me, we got to go back to the other verse. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But listen to this. In every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes so that it will bear more fruit. Now listen to this, and this is in Amplified, even richer and finer fruit. Liz, I know you know a lot about gardening, and I hear we may have some tomatoes coming our way pretty soon. But I know you know that for the gardener to do it, to do their job properly, they have to have some little snips out there to cut and trim and take off the things that are not producing. So that what? The fruit, That's right. Can be richer and finer, better fruit. And now this branch, if it was still connected to the tree, I think you all can look on there and see some things that need to be removed, pruned, changed. And it's not an easy process to have pruning, but it's a needed process. And so in that pruning process, sometimes we can get discouraged, but when God prunes us, he's doing it for a powerful purpose to make us stronger. Let's move real quickly to this. Verse 3. Speaking to the church, you are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teachings which I have discussed with you. Jesus is telling them, you, disciples, you are already clean because you have sat before my words. So the living word that I have given to you has made you, what's that word? Clean. And another way of pronouncing what that word means is you are purified by the word of God. You are purified by the powerful ability that God's word has to come in and to prune our lives. Also, you are cleansed by the word. Clean, you are washed by the word. A vine cleansed by pruning bears even more fruit, richer fruit, better and finer fruit. But here's the thing. Without the word of God, what's pruning our lives? The world. That's right. Will the world shape us and form us? Without a doubt. Are we born with that challenging fact of a fallen nature trying to shape us every day? Are we challenged by voices around us to change and to shape our heart every day? And without pruning, we will not be pure, we will not be clean, we will not produce the fruit that God wants to produce in our lives. But what does the pruning process look like? And I'm going to make it very plain and very simple. Has God's word pruned you? Think about that a minute. It's one thing to come and hear a message or be in a class where someone's teaching. That's a good thing. You know, that's ordained of God that we have the foolishness of preaching that it's called, bringing that good news. But see, it's more personal than just that. When I sit with the Word of God, whether it's on your smartphone or in the book, and I say, Holy Spirit, open my understanding and lead my reading today, I will read a scripture and I will hear God take out those pruning snares and approach to my heart and want to go ahead and shape what needs to be shaped. But see, I'm challenged because when he speaks through the power of his Holy Spirit within, when he gets ready to cut off that which is dead or unclean within me, I have a choice. Go ahead, God, or back off, God. And how do we tell God to back off? How do we tell God to back off? I don't see that in me. Why do I feel like it is in me, but I don't see it? My resistance to what God is telling me. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. But then that still, small voice, I want to bear fruit, God. And I know if I leave this, it ain't going to be fruit coming, not proper fruit. So, Lord Jesus, not in my strength, but your strength, snip it. Take it. Take it. Because what's the deal? If he doesn't take it, guess what? We're going to take it with us. And that which is impure is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. See, this is an image that seems so dramatic and so challenging. But the branch was at one time in Jesus. And as it refused the pruning, as it refused the fruit that God wanted to bear within it, mercy removed it and reminded it of its direction. We've all been there. We've all said, no, God, you're not going to touch that. In fact, grace lets it stay in there, right? Grace will let it stay in there. Hear this out. Grace allows us time to process the mind of Christ within us. And mercy comes and forgives and washes stuff away. But I'm telling you this, identified where God wants to snip it and take it, and we say, no, get behind me, God. We risk that removal that who does? God will do. And I had someone share with me this week something that really hit me really hard in a good way. The parable of the talents. So many times that's viewed as gifts, you know, the spiritual gifts that we have and not using them properly. But this person shared with me, no, it's really more about the measure of faith that God has given you. That's what it's talking about. Because each person has a different measure of faith that God gives us. So in the faith that he has placed in us, the challenge is this: invest it in Jesus, in the vine, and watch the fruit that will multiply. But if the faith is not applied to the vine, the faith will dissipate and die and shrivel up and no longer affect our journey towards God. In fact, it will build up a wall against him when we reject that measure of faith that we have. And let me just say it real bold and plain. If I want God, there's nothing in me that made that possible. Now, I want you to hear that real close. If I want God, there's nothing in me that made that possible. It's not because I want to follow. Mm-mm. The measure of faith is a gift that God has entrusted to us. So if we want spiritual growth, grace, right? And let that faith be vested as God has chosen, and where that faith is vested is in the vine. And let that daily pruning occur. Let's look closely at this. You are already clean, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teaching which I have discussed with you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Jesus does not force himself upon us. The free will that he has given us is that which God has placed in us, and we have a choice to invite or to say no thank you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit, producing evidence of what? Your faith, unless you remain in me. Remain in me. And then lastly, verse 5. Before we read 5, I want to ask one more time. What is this crisis producing in you? Because here's the thing. When this first happened, something that hit my heart really heavy is the church is never going to be the same after this. It's never going to be the same. So then I look at it this way. That might be a good thing, right? Because if we have built a factory of artificial fruit, don't we want that exposed? Yeah, I remember as a kid, that banana, that artificial banana, I remember trying it out. Didn't taste real good. If we have produced houses that perpetuate artificial fruit, the mercy of God has exposed it to us. Suffering does not destroy. Comfort is what destroys. And so I believe this. What is this crisis producing in us? Are we closer to Jesus now? It's July the what? 12th. I better know that because tomorrow's my anniversary. 35 years. I love you, baby. I appreciate it. 35 years. We're not up there with Jack and Hap and Tracy, 60, but we're working on it. We're working on it. 35 years. What is this season? No, it's not a season. This shift producing in us. Are we closer to Jesus from January 1 to now July the 12th? What's the difference? What's the difference? Are we patiently enduring? Are we just so confused that we don't even know how to even get through the next day? I can promise you this. It's just starting. I believe that. The things that are awaiting us are things that, just like we couldn't imagine being here in this condition at the beginning of the year, there's no way, if someone sat down and told you that all the events that have happened, that we said, yeah, I believe that. We said, you're a liar. Get behind me, what, Satan? There's some stuff that is coming. But we're going to remain. And not only are we going to remain, we're going to flourish in our fruit. May not be as many people in the house or on Zoom. Some people may fade away. Some people will not remain. But the fruit of God will remain, and it's going to be beautiful. And I want the beautiful fruit of God. I don't want to be thrown aside from my purpose. I am the vine, you are the branches. There it is. The one who remains in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit, inevitable fruit. It's not a question. It's not like, oh, I want fruit. It's going to come because God has destined it to come. You've already seen it, and you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And guess what? You're not willing to give that up. You're not. It's been too good. If you haven't tasted it, I would ask you this. Are you remaining in the true source? Because once you are connected to that source, you will find life at the fullest that it can be. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is, cut off from vital union with me. Again, that is, cut off from vital what? Union with me. You can do nothing. So what's God saying? What's God saying? Oh, I can still have my stuff for a while. I can still have my, you know what gets me so mad? Be happy, stay home and watch Netflix. I'm like, man, have you watched Netflix lately? You know, be happy. I'm like, is that the fruit that you want from me? No. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And the definition of nothing from God is a scary, scary reality. I don't want nothing. I want the fruit that God has offered. So I'm just going to do a quick fruit inspection. I wish I would have seen my father as he inspected the fruit when he was working. Because my dad had two speeds. When he came home, he'd go get in that lazy boy, and he was out. But when he was at work, he was Mr. You know, as he got older, he moved in, back into the store, and he started stocking the produce. And I still remember my dad. I would watch him from the corner. He'd have like a cart of oranges. I'm not exaggerating. It was like full speed. But when he came home, he knew how to relax. He could inspect that fruit. When I bought a watermelon the other day, I said, how did Daddy tell me you could tell if it was going to be a good watermelon? You thump it, yeah. My dad knew. He could inspect the fruit. The question is this: how do we know the quality of the fruit that's in us? First of all, it better not be sourced by us. Because we, in each of these, we have artificial fruit that we can rest in. But if it's sourced in us, it will be artificial. It'll be as sorry tasting as if you tried to peel that artificial banana or take a bite out of that orange. I think Barb had some styrofoam artificial fruit. And when the boys were little, I would look sometimes and see bite marks in it. Yeah. So here's a way to examine in a good way. How is God's fruit in you? Is God's love alive in you? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know when it's God's love because it has no shutdown. It has continuance. You know it's God's love because when you're met with hate, you find a way to deal with it and not let the hate find its home in you. Is God's joy alive in you? I didn't say, is your joy alive in you? Is God's joy alive in you? Because when I look at the dynamics of this shift, there's a whole lot of things to get kind of upset about and depressed about, very depressed about. But the question is God's joy alive in you? It's more than a feeling. It's a knowing that he's got you. He's got you. Even, Chaz, you know, you've read the book. Even if it means that they set your head in a guillotine and say, deny your faith, or we're going to push the button. Stephen smiling as he was entered into the presence of God. That may be our lot. That may be our lot. It may be. Not trying to scare anybody, but it may be. We may be at that door. Is God's peace alive in you? The rustling, I started having vision problems. I'm like, am I going blind? starting to get these squiggly lines in my eyes. And I'm like, Lord, will I still love you if I can't see? I mean, I'm serious. We none know what our fate is. So, Barb said, you better get to that eye doctor. It's going to be hard if you can't see. Go to the eye doctor, and he tells me, tell me your symptoms. And I told him, like that. He said, and I'll mispronounce the word, but it's a visual migraine, a visual type migraine. And it's brought on. He said, it's a couple of things that can bring it on. He said, either it's caffeine. I said, oh. Or it can be stress. And stress, I know it's stress. You know, it might be a little caffeine too on Saturdays. But stress. But the question is, do I choose to allow God's peace, not my peace, but God's peace to live in me? Is God's peace alive in you? And then here's another fruit exam. Is God's patience alive in you? Man, these are days to get in a fight. You kidding me? People are like, don't say something with a little side statement. A fight will break out. I'm serious. How do you think I know? Because I'm on edge. I'm on edge. And God reminds me, your patience ain't enough, son. Your patience is not enough. Listen, examine the fruit, and know that God's patience, is it alive in you? Because it can be. Is God's kindness alive in you? Edgy. Quick to come against. That's not in Christ. Words matter, and if words aren't kind, they're destructive. In these times, this shift is times for kindness. If it's sourced in us, it's not going to be there. But if it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of remaining in the vine, we're going to be all right. We're going to mess up. But you know, when we mess up, God will say, time to prune. Time to prune. Problem is, word's already out. God says, I'm going to prune that tongue where you're not going to go there anymore. And you're going to remember, bad fruit leaves a bad taste and leaves consequences. But I forgive you, and I'll give strength to people who love, with my love, to forgive you as well. But they're still going to what? It's a challenge. Consequences. Kindness. And then also, when we examine the fruit that our lives are producing, not by our power, but by the power of Jesus Christ, is God's goodness alive in you? What does that really mean? Are you becoming more Christ-like as your days advance? Elderly people have no reason to be grouchy. I'm learning about that. Be mean, right? If their source is the goodness of God alive in us, becoming more Christ-like, not less. Faith invested develops more of his likeness in us. And is God's faithfulness alive in you? This is one of the things that I think we're going to see as we haven't seen before. My faithfulness has limitations. But I'll be honest with you, some people are just extremely good at being faithful. And that's a gift, thank God. But again, our faithfulness is not to be the source. It's God's faithfulness in us. It's like, what's motivating my faithfulness? It is the power of God in me. And then this shift is going to tell us who is truly in faith and who isn't. Because it's going to get harder to walk through those doors. It's going to get harder to endure streaming and Zoom. I heard someone say the other day, when Zoom first started, they loved it. And now there's a hate relationship going on with Zoom. And he listed all of these things that are involved in that. One of them is this, and maybe this will be a little tip for our Wednesday night study. When people talk to you, they want you to what? Look in my eyes, right? Look in my eyes. Well, what happens on your device, your computer? The camera is where? It's up here. And you're looking here. So will you look at me? Just look in my eyes, because we read a lot out of each other's eyes. But the problem is, we're not here, we're looking here. And then he mentioned this as well, I thought was very interesting. Now, don't tell on yourself. When people are on Zoom, and you guys can tell right now, are they looking at the person speaking? Now, don't tell me how that. I want to know. Normally, when people are on Zoom, who are they looking at? We're what? We're looking at ourselves. Well, a conversation to yourself, you know, and someone being a bystander doesn't really connect the way it needs to. So there's limitations with the powerful internet stuff. Faithfulness, the adhesiveness of the body of Christ is going to be strong for those that have the faithfulness of God alive, the fruit of the faithfulness of God in them. For those that don't, church will be a thing of the past. And when they do come to the online, I had a lady tell me this week, I said, how's your church weathering through this? She says, well, we're not meeting, but we are streaming. And I said, well, that, you know, it's good that y'all have an avenue. She said, I don't know about that, she said. And I said, and this sounds mean, but she told me this is what she said, so I'm going to say it. She says, when I go to watch the streaming service at my church, I'm not engaged. She said, that's why I like Zoom. At least there's some back and forth that goes on. But she says, I find myself when the pastor's preaching, and she said this, she said, and asking for people to please keep giving your tithes, right? I appreciate y'all's faithfulness because it's hard financially on churches. She says, I find myself just cleaning my house and trying to tune in, but she says, I get so distracted. It's not easy. It's not easy. But the key thing, faithfulness that is sourced in God is going to bring us to a place of greater strength in this trial. And then, quickly to close, is God's gentleness alive in you? And that's a conviction for me. Because when I don't like it, gentleness, what, has a way of exiting. And this is a hard time for me as a pastor. I'll just be very honest with you. It stinks. It's not a fun time. But it's going to work out. It's going to work out. And the last element of examining the quality of fruit that is coming from our lives is God's self-control alive in you. God's self-control. What does that mean? He places his self-control in us, and his name is the Holy Spirit. Is he leading us in these days of toil, in these days of needed endurance, patient endurance? Is the work that Jesus is viewing, is it the fruit that his heart desires? Do we have the inevitable fruit that God has promised? If we can bow for a moment in prayer. And as we bow in prayer this morning, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have connected us to the true vine, not a false hope, not an empty hope, but the true vine that produces everlasting fruit. We lift up every heart, Lord, that is gathered in this house and everyone that is gathered by Zoom today. And we say in the name of Jesus, intensify the fruit that is not sourced in us, but is sourced by you and by your strength in us, and increase our remaining in you. And we say, Jesus, as you come to prune, Father God, let us be willing to say, take it in the name of Jesus. And right now, whatever the Holy Spirit has spoken to us through these past weeks, or maybe past days or months, that he's reached out those pruning shears to take away from our hearts, we know what it is if we've been listening. But our will may be standing in the way, saying, no, no, I got this, I can manage this, it's all right. God's not problem. It's not a problem for God. Doesn't bother him, but why does it keep coming back in my heart? And as I come before your word, the cleaning power of your word, if this is in you, say, Jesus, go ahead, take it. In the name of Jesus. Take it right now in the name of Jesus. I don't want it. My flesh wants it, but I don't want it, Lord. It hinders the fruit that you want to produce. And we thank you and honor you, Lord Jesus, for being that faithful vine dresser that you are. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And at this